Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my gymnasium. Check it out. Watch this. Bring ding 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 ding.
Wagwan, we want to thank everybody for listening to us here at Live Deliverance Internet for the next 1 hour and 59 minutes. Chaplain John Durden, there will be no questions and answers. You have the mic, Chaplain John Durden.
I should have had a glass of water in front of me. Good evening, everybody. This is Brother John. I'm known by Brother John more so, and, you know, more so than hello, Pastor, hello, Chaplain. I'm retired now, and just I have everybody just calling me Brother John. It's a pleasure to be with each one of you this evening. God bless you. God bless you. And for those who don't know anything about me, some do, and some not familiar with me. So I'll give you a little educational and employment background. I have 3 master's degrees. The first one I got was human resources, which means personnel administration, because I had aspired to be a personnel director in some company, a firm, or something like that, either with the federal government. And I did get on. After I graduated, I did. God sent me for an interview. I didn't even know if people looking for a job. And God woke me up one Friday morning and said, go. You know, and I froze my thoughts because I wasn't used to hearing God. And before I knew it, I said, yeah, it must be some over there. I'm thanking this thing, and I'm saying, I'm thanking to get the credit of the Lord Jesus. I went there, and just so happened, this was way back in 1970, y'all. 1970, and when I walked in the door, everybody looked at me like I was crazy. So, yes, sir, can we help you? It was an Army installation, and they had a vacancy there, but they had 300 personnel employees working that office, and guess what? Out of the 300, guess how many was black or African-American? None. And I walked in the door, can we help you? I said, I'm looking for a job, you know, and they talking about, I don't know if we have any vacancies, but and I said, I'm sorry, but I'm looking for a janitor position. Do you have anything else? Then I said, please don't lie to me, because if I find out you're recruiting for somebody else, I'm going to report you to the Civil Service Authority. Well, yeah, trainers, we're not finished. We have one vacancy, but we'll call it the manager, the personnel director. So he comes up in the lobby, talking to me in front of everybody. What you looking for? This was a job. Personnel. Yes, sir. And make a long story short, God gave me the job because I came here to teach. They didn't come to give, you know, about my lifestyle. But they gave me a job. And so God, I found out later, that was the Holy Spirit speaking to me, telling me at the place. I got the job there as an intern, 1970. And then 30 years later, I retired as the personnel director. Started up the intern and retired as the personnel director. God put me that job, but I wasn't used to hearing God at the time. You couldn't tell me that was God. I thought that was my crazy thought. So I just want to say that I have 3 master's degrees, 1 in human resources. That's personnel administration, where I hired federal employees for 30 long years. And after that, I was home, and the Lord called me into the ministry. And I go, Lord, you know, preacher. I said, you know, I'm a deacon in the church. I've been a deacon for about like 12 years, and I don't want to be no preacher because that means I got to go to the church every Sunday. I guess the Lord would could have slapped me, he would have slapped me down. I said, I don't want to be no preacher. You know, like, you know, preachers got to be there every Sunday. And I heard someone say, shut up, boy, let's do what I say. So I went. So when I went to church that Sunday, I was sitting up there on the front row with all the deacons, and it was like 14 of us. And just before he went to say the closure, the pastor said, I feel like somebody got something to say. I just can't say the benediction. Anybody got anything to say? And so I realized that my hand went up in the air without my control. So he said, Deacon John, you want to come up and tell me? I said, no. That's just a mistake. I'm just scratching my head. Tracy O'Gate. All right, who? Somebody got something to say. I can't say the benediction until somebody come up. Now, somebody got something to say. I know I can hear God. And my hand went up in the air again. He said, come here, sir. He said, what is your problem? What is it, deacon? And forgetting that he had the microphone in his ear, I mean, right up in his chest, right near my mouth, I told him, I've been called into the ministry. Now, I'm happy being a deacon, but I heard this voice in the middle of the night telling me to go and tell you, and the whole church started laughing, breaking out. And the pastor said, y'all heard Deacon John? All those who agree that we should put him in the ministry, because he's been here like 14 years, all y'all know him. What do you think? And the whole congregation stood up, even all my fellow deacons and everybody else, you know, even some of the enemies in the church, even though they didn't like me, they stood up that I'm being invited, you know, as being nominated. So I decided to go to school. And there I was, 55, 56, and 57 years of age going to school, seminary. But anyway, I completed 3 years, and God gave me an assignment as a chaplain. So, again, 3 master's degrees, one in personnel administration, and one in counseling. Another one is in theology. And as a result of my theology degree, God had somebody calling from the hospital, and I didn't even know the hospital had a vacancy there. Somebody called and said, how do you know about me? That's all right, sir. Would you come for an interview? We heard you graduated from school with honors. I go, Lord, do they know they're talking to a 55-year-old man? You know. So I went for the interview, and they didn't make me an assistant chaplain. They made me the head chaplain. So God gave me the federal job for 30 years, and God gave me the chaplain job. He sent me to school and everything else. Praise God. Let's see what I want to do now. Let's see. I want to pray. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I want to say thank you for your blessing, and thank you for your wisdom, and thank you for looking after me. And I pray, Father God, that the Holy Spirit will empower me to teach your word with clarity and simplicity and boldness tonight. And I pray that all our minds will be alert and clear, and our hearts become receptive. And I pray that the Spirit of truth, that is the Holy Spirit, move in such power that every stronghold of unbelief, discord, and vain thoughts be pulled out and brought into captivity to the glory of your precious, precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the world's Redeemer and my Savior. And I pray that your words will bring salvation, Father, will bring healing and bring deliverance to all here in your presence today. And it's in the mighty name of your divine Son, Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, I don't know. This one excites me because about 2 days ago I said, Lord, you know, I gotta do this thing Tuesday. I don't have the slightest idea. You know, a couple of weeks I did on demonology, talked about all different types of demons and how they affect us and everything else. And then another time I got up there and I talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, about speaking in tongues, and then I said, what would you have me? And I was thinking about, and I said, I know what I can talk about. I can talk about the judgment of the believers. And I thought that was it, but it wasn't. I said, I know it is. I know it is. That God want me to talk about believers backstabbing him and these kinds of things and the ways they backstab, how he hurt him. And then at the last minute, I said, and then all of a sudden, I guess God changed his mind. I said, what? I said, somehow I still don't feel comfortable with that. And then all of a sudden, I went and got my book off the shelf and just scanned through it. And I didn't know I was being led by the Spirit. And guess what I came up with? Heaven, the eternal home of the Savior. I go, what? To heaven, the eternal home of Savior. I said, I thought you were talking about the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, where he judged, you know, the righteous. Remember, the righteous go before him because he's just going to judge us for the wrong things we've been doing, not, you know, because we're the righteous. Sure, we did wrong things in the past, but we repented, and we and his family, God, the judgment seat of Christ is God judging the righteous, those who have made it to heaven. And so I go, but that wasn't it. Then I had another thought, say, heaven, the eternal home of the saved. I go, say what? Heaven, the eternal home of the saved. Oh, my God. Man, I ran all through the house. I say, and I go, well, I guess I don't know. Maybe you're coming back you're soon coming back. It's coming up pretty soon. I don't know. And then I say, and then too, with this virus going on and everything else, you want me to tell them about heaven, because a lot of people dying who didn't think they were going to die. Some in their 30s, some was in their 40s. And I said, yeah, okay, all right. You just tell me what to say. Okay. And so I got all my books on heaven and read till my eyes turned green. And so I came up with some stuff, and I go, I didn't even know this. You know what? And I learned about two-thirds of the stuff that I'm teaching, and he made me read it over and over and over till I got it in my spirit. Talk about it like I've been knowing all the things about heaven. But, you know, before I get in that, I'm going to read the scripture. And I always start off with the scripture first, okay? And then before I do that, see, now the Lord want me to pray about this, okay? Father God, I pray that you would anoint me with revelation, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would empower me, Father, to teach your word with clarity and simplicity and boldness. And may all our minds, Father God, be alert and clear, and our hearts become receptive. And I pray that the Spirit of the truth move in such power that every stronghold and unbelief, every discord and every vain thought be pulled down and brought into captivity to the glory of your Son, Jesus. And finally, Father, I pray that your words will bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to all here in your presence this evening. It's in the name of your Son I pray. Amen. I thank you, Father. Have me say, I pray that your words bring salvation, because we have a lot of people. Listen, we got a lot of people been in church all the years. Some people been in church, didn't know that they had to accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, like me. In the church I was in, down in Savannah, Georgia, I thought because I was grandma and many of my buddies go to church every Sunday, you know, I was saved. And I sang in the children choir. And then when I grew up, I became a deacon, and I was in the men's glee club at the church and doing everything. And guess what? My butt wasn't saved. I thought it was. Then I was tied on top of that and everything else. Then God felt sorry for me. And so one day, let me see what happened. I was sitting in my office at the base, and the military commander walked in my office and said, hey, Brother John. I said, how you doing, General? What you need? Because I'm the head recruiter, so he always had me to come and fill his vacancy for him. Sometimes you want a secretary, sometimes you want an accountant, sometimes you want an engineer. He said, I'm not here for that. I'm here to tell you that the Lord told me you were not saved, and he wants you into his family. I go, sit. I give him, oh, my God. I didn't know this man was crazy. I said, Lord, I got a religious fanatic in here on me. So I said, well, what's up? He said, let me ask you, are you saved? And I go, well, I hope so. I think so. He said, well, you're not, because you just said you hope so. What's the matter? You don't know if you're saved or not? I said, yeah, I'm saved. I go to church every Sunday, and I tithe when I can, you know, and stuff like that. And then he just broke it down. I'm not going to tell the whole story, so I just bring it to the end. He says, you need to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, John. And he showed me, you know, he showed me John 1:12, where we must receive him as our personal Lord and Savior. I said, I ain't never heard such a thing in all my life, you know. Because unfortunately, I was sitting under the preacher, bringing, all he did was just hoop and holler and say good things, and I never heard nothing like that. He said, well, be active. You now, because every time somebody joined a church, the first thing come up, you now a child of God. That was his regular thing. So anyway, the commander at the base told me that I had to accept Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And for some reason, instead of me calling a hypocrite or religious fanatic, I guess the Holy Spirit is working on me and had me to say, that's my servant. And I accepted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. He led me to the Lord. And that was on Friday evening. Do you know when I woke up that Saturday morning, I was not the same John that went to bed that night. I apologized to everybody. I called people. I'm telling them sorry. I cussed them out. I called the wife in the bedroom, got down on my knees, and asked her to forgive me for all the time I shouted at her and cussed at her and all these other kinds of stuff. Supposed to be a big-time deacon, right? And always, you know, you don't tell me what to say. I'm the man and all that crap, you know. And I straightened that mess out. I said, I'm sorry, baby. And she started crying. She couldn't believe it. And God said, hug her. I hugged her, and we fell on the floor. And do you know, we were laying on the floor a whole hour, crying in each other's arms, because she was crying for her happiness, and I was crying because I really found out what the truth and how I was hurting my dear wife. And, you know, and so we just loved on each other ever since, all those years, 47 years. Okay, now, so I got saved because the Lord sent the military general in my office at the base where I was working to tell me that I need to be saved, that I wasn't saved. Okay, so you know my employment history. You know my theology. I accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I'm excited to talk about this heaven, the eternal home of the saved. All right. Now, I'm going to read the scripture he gave me. I said, now, Lord, okay. You know the scripture that deal with heaven. So I started looking up the word heaven in the back of the Bible and everything else, and like a concordance, and looking up all the scriptures on heaven, trying to decide which one I want, because I didn't want to read all 50, 60, 70, 80, 80 scriptures on heaven. So I pick about like four that I really love, kind of a thing. And the first one, he wanted me to, now everybody know John 1:12, but that doesn't have anything to do with what heaven look like, anything. That's talking about how to get there. And you know, John 1:12 says, the word of God says, but as many as received him, to receive him as their Lord and Savior, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So right there, that told me, that confirmed what I've done, that we must receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And another scripture the Lord gave me, he gave me John 4, chapter 5. John chapter 5, 24, and it says, truly, truly, this is Jesus talking, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but he passed out of death into life. He who hears my word and believes him, talking about his Father God, because this is Jesus talking in the ray of print, and he who hears my word and believes him, my Father who sent me, has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. And then he gave me another. I said, okay. Boy, you better shut up. I'm slapping once, twice, whatever. All right. The Hebrews 4:14 says this. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, meaning Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, that's plural, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. And slow down now, from something I want to explain. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says this. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, that's Jesus, who have passed through the, didn't say the heaven, the heavens, there's three, first and second and third heaven, which I'll go into in a second, passed through the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. And then he took me to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, my favorite book. I read Revelation every day. I know Revelation like I know my timetables. I love it. It's my favorite book. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9, 10, 11, and it says this. And the title of it in front of 9 says, a multitude from the tribulation. In other words, when we go through the tribulation, God, those who really believe in God, they're going to be ascended up into heaven. We're going to be with the Lord for 7 years. And then after the 7 years, he's going to come back and set up his kingdom on earth. And then we have Jesus right down here with us. All right, here we go. This is Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, 10, and 11. 9 says this. After these things, I looked up and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all the tribes and peoples and different tongues, when I say tongues, talking about languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches were in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. That's us, y'all, praising up like the hot dog is all over. And I know some who are doing it right now, those people who died as a result of this virus and everything like that. And they probably, and you know, and family members, I'm like, my husband's gone to be with the Lord. He was so young. And probably when he got up, just, why you took me from my wife so quick, Lord? Man, I still got children raised and everything. God said, I got them covered. Now just look around. You got to look around and see all the holy angels. See Abraham and Joshua and all, say, good God Almighty, look at him. And he'll forget all that crying he was doing and say, man, I'm happy. There's Jesus right there. There's God sitting on the throne. And look at all them angels. Golly. You know, so all that sadness go, because the word of God says, there's no crying and sadness in heaven. God said, well, I know they're coming behind me, so I'm just going to go ahead and enjoy it. I know the Lord will take care of my wife while I'm up here. Oh, I know the Lord will take care of my husband while, you know, up here kind of a thing, because there's no crying, no sadness in heaven. And God would give that person a revelation nobody got. He said, it was their time. Let me tell you why. And God explains it. I took you now because. I took you and you and you because. The reason you're here now is because God is all wise and he's a loving God. They're in the presence of God. They're not crying. They're probably for a minute, but you know what? Even the Bible says there's no crying in heaven. Now, you know, I couldn't understand that. I go, suppose my sister never accepted Christ, but she did, you know. And then how I'm going to enjoy heaven on my sister in hell? How I'm going to enjoy heaven after my mom when she was a liquorhead drinking and all that stuff and she's in hell? But she saved too, you know, kind of thing. But I'm going, how can everybody be happy? Oh, but God got his way. Even if God have to raise that person's mind from you. Sometimes God say, no matter what I say, that person that loved mama more than loved me, I'm just going to have to just swap the mind and let her forget mama so she can be happy, because my word says there's no crying and tears up in heaven. Let's see. That was Revelation 7, 9, and then 9, 10, 11. 10 is this, says this. And no one could count from every nation, all tribes and people and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches were in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, in the presence of God. Okay. And then Revelation 21. Thank you, Lord. 21. I'm turning. All right. 21. It says this. Revelation 21, 1 through 4. And it says this. Okay. Then I saw a new heaven. Mind you, the title of this subject tonight is Heaven, the Eternal Home of the Saved. I can say heaven, our eternal home. It says this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. He's going to get a new heaven and a new earth later. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there's no longer any sea. All the sea's gone. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, which is called now, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned to her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning, a crying, a pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne, meaning Jesus, behold, I am, said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. For I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. But I must say, but for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and the murderers and the immoral person and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their parts will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Not only have a new heaven, but we have a new city. And the word of God in Revelation says this, and still in chapter 21, it says, and he carried me away, that's John talking, in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was very like a very costly stone, and a stone of crystal clear. And it had described our new home, folks. And he says it had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels stand at each one of those jokers, and also the names of the 12 tribes were written on the 12 gates, the 12 tribes. He said there were three gates on the east, three gates on the west, three gates on the south, and three gates on the north. Can you imagine it? Wow. And guess what? An angel standing at each one of those gates. Ain't nobody who's unrighteous going to get in there. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. I mean, the city was built on 12 foundations. And those foundations, as you know, have the names of 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Isn't that amazing? 12 apostles of the Lamb. And then he said, I saw no temple in it. This is John 2. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the sun had no need for the sun or the moon to shine on it, but the glory of God has illuminated it, and its Lamb is the Lamb. Yeah, God, praise the Lord. And you know what? And then All right, Lord. Okay. This is laughing. I love talking to the Lord. Revelation 21. This is the last scripture, y'all. Then I'm like, boy, y'all will be inspired some of the things that the Holy Spirit gave me about heaven. All right. Chapter 21 again, verses 10 through 15. 10 through 15. Oh, here we go. And he carried me away in the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, to a great high mountain, showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Having the glory of God, her brilliance was like very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the gate 12 angels, those are the angels of God, and names were written on them, which were the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And that's up in the gates, all 12 tribes, the name after each tribe of Israel. There were three gates on the east, three gates on the north, and three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundational stones. Now you had 12 gates. Now you got 12, what's that? And the wall of the city had 12 fountain stones. And on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and so forth. How about that? God is something else. And lastly, he said, I saw no temple in it. You know why? Because God is the temple. God is the temple. And the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illuminated it, and its lamp is light. They're the light. We won't have any sun or any moon and stars up in heaven, because we need it down here to light up. It's nighttime and daytime, you see. But God is the light of the world. Okay. And then the last scripture says, in the daytime, the nation will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory to it. In the daytime, for there will be no night there. Its gates will never, never, never be closed. And then he said, tell them this, John, and nothing unclean, and no one who practices abominations and lying shall never, ever come into my kingdom. Amen and amen to the reading of his word. And you know what? I'm going to take some little shortcuts. I don't know how long we got. I'm going to talk about five different things about heaven. And the five things I'm going to talk about, here we go. But first of all, I want to say it is hopeful and prayerful that the following categories will interest you, because it interests me, and I got this session will address the following. Now, these are the five things I'm going to talk about. One, the location of heaven. The location of heaven. And when I say the location of heaven, I'm going to be talking about, well, my mind is jumping from one thing thought to another. Okay. All right. The location of heaven. I'm going under that. I have subtitles under the location of heaven. It will come to this. The first heaven is the atmosphere. Talk about the three heavens. I'm talking about the three heavens. First heaven, second heaven, and the third heaven. And I'm going to describe the description of heaven. And when I say description of heaven, I'm going to be talking about the presence of God. I'm going to be talking about heaven is eternal. I'm going to be talking about heaven has no death. I'm going to be talking about heaven has no tears. Then I'm going to be talking about heaven is a place of memory. And heaven is the largest city ever built. And heaven is beautiful and clean. That comes under just that one subtitle, the description of heaven. Okay? Then the second thing I'm going to talk about is a description of heaven. And guess what? I got under that. The title of it is description of heaven. When I say description of heaven, I'm going to talk about, let's see, the presence of God. I'm going to be talking about heaven has no tears, and heaven is a place of memory, and heaven is the largest city, and heaven will be beautiful and clean. I'm going to talk about all that about heaven. And then the next thing I'm going to talk about, that was the description of heaven. The third thing is the inhabitants of heaven. Who's going to be there? The inhabitants of heaven. And under that, I describe the following. There are going to be angels, and I'm going to, you know, talk about that. I'm just giving you just the title. The inhabitants of heaven are angels. They are the elders of the church. They are saved Israel, because, you know, Israel finally came around since they're loving Jesus and accepting Jesus, their personal Lord and Savior. And then under the heavens of heaven going to be the church. That's all the Christians and everybody else who's non-Jewish and everything else, the church. And the church is called believers in Christ. Like you said, you took my church away from me. Say, man, the church is the building. We the church, the people of the church. When y'all go to that building, sure, we go into a building called church, but believers are the church. When the Bible says the church, it's talking about us. It ain't talking about no building that we go to. I don't care if it costs $2 or $1 million. When you say the church, you're talking about us, U.S. So the inhabitants of heaven, I'm going to tell you who they are. Angels, elders, and I'm going to break it down to you a little bit about each one. Angels, elders, save Israel. Well, you know, Israel is going to finally confess that Jesus is the Savior that they denied all those years and all those centuries. Well, God says, well, I had a plan that too, because while they're busy around there talking about they just believe in God and not me as their Savior, as the Messiah, I've gone and left them for a while and going to grab up all those Gentiles. All those Gentiles are your Baptists, your Catholics, and your all the other different denominations. Baptists and I don't know, a whole bunch of them. Most everything. Even folks in Baja and stuff, going to work on their butts. But that's what's going to happen. So he just let the Jews walk around for a while for centuries, talking about Jesus just a good man, just a disciple, but God don't have no son. It's just Jesus. But we're looking for the Messiah, but Jesus not the Messiah. He's just a good man and these kinds of things. So the inhabitants of heaven, I'm going to discuss angels, elders, save Israel, which is save Israel. That's when I say Israel, you're thinking about the Jews, save Israel. And all those folks, chapter 11, if you read Hebrew chapter 11, it will tell you how God's going to get them saved. God's going to save the Hebrew, the Jewish. You find that right now, not I'm hardly, well, a lot of them now, many of them now. But before it's all over, he's going to have all those Jews finally realizing that Jesus, who we ignored all these years, was really the Messiah we was looking for. And then we talk about the church, like I said, that's us. We'll talk about us. And then he's going to talk about the triune God. I'm going to talk a little bit about the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And then the last, the activities of heaven. What on earth are we going to be doing when in heaven? And every time I say a sentence, guess what? I'm going to end it with the period. The period is going to be a scripture. So when I tell you it's going to be this, it's going to be that, and blah, 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 I'll always end it with the scripture. I'm not imagining things, but I'm not going to lie on him. I'm not going to lie on God. And so when I get through saying, da 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 da, I'm saying, Romans, Genesis, Ezekiel, I will be telling you what the scripture that guy's from. So the activities, dig this, the activities of heaven. Say, heaven is often thought of in terms of angels sitting on clouds with harps and singing in choirs. At best, this is a small part of heaven. Though described as the eternal rest of the believers, heaven will be very active because everybody said, hell, I'm going to sit on a cloud the rest of my life and just float from one cloud to the other. But no, we'll be doing works. We'll be doing entertainments and all that stuff. Even some of us even have jurisdiction to have commands and everything else. And listen at this. The activities of heaven, you're going to have a life of fellowship. Oh, boy, can you imagine? Eternal life, fellowship with fellow believers of all nationalities. I don't care if they're Chinese, Japanese, Koreans, German, whatever else, African-Americans, Caucasians, Mexicans, Japanese, whatever. All the same from every one of those denominations. Going to be up in heaven. That's going to be your company. That's going to be who you fellowship with. And then the next thing, the activities of heaven, we're going to have fellowship. And then we're going to have a life of rest. We have time to rest because God knows us. And we're going to be doing things we enjoy. We don't want to rest when we have to rest because you enjoy what you're doing. Ain't going to never be no night. We ain't never going to be sleepy because we have a glorified body. We are spiritual beings. So we don't have to get no sleep. There's no light, you know, and moon and stars and all that in heaven. It's just Jesus and His Father. It's the light of the world, the light of heaven. There ain't gonna be no flashlights, no street lights, no sun, moon, stars, none of that stuff. Okay, so the activities of heaven, they're gonna be fellowship with other fellow believers, and then even with Moses and Joshua, and we're gonna know all those folks too, and we're gonna know them, immediately. You don't have to come and just remember when the three apostles was there when Jesus went to God and the Son, and the two prophets came down. and they knew exactly who he was. They said Moses. I forget that right, the other name, right? Great. But they knew who they were. That's how it's going to be like that. We would have a lot of knowledge of Jesus. So even when you see a Chinese or Japanese when you get up in heaven, you can say, oh, Lord, I ain't going to remember all these people. Came on, whoop, and boop, 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 and weep, weep, weep. Ain't no way in the world I'm going to all these people remember all their names. By the time I get to the fifth person, I forgot who was the fourth and the third person. But we would know, just like you know your mama, your cousins, and your brothers who you don't see much, you know, friends you used to work with, but you retired. When you see them again, you know, hey, you look older, girl, but, you know, I still remember you. Well, we don't remember people who we never even met. We just going to know who they are. It's just like the three disciples was when Jesus in prayer of the garden, and then they recognized Moses. Okay, and have a life of rest. He know he give us chores and all to do. He give us the signs and stuff like to do. But I'm pretty sure the schedule gonna be where it wouldn't wear us out. But more likely it gonna wear us out because what? We're spiritual beings. We don't get tired. And here's another thing: the activities of heaven. Not only you're going to have fellowship, rest, and service to do, but you're going to have a life of growth, growth where you mature in the Word, and you start learning all about the Lord, and you start knowing more and more about heaven and everything else. You almost can become a minister yourself. And then you can have a life of worship. You're going before, can you imagine every day, instead of going to church, you to church, you're going before the throne of God, and you're seeing Jesus. God the Father, and all three, I'm sitting up there looking at you, just smiling, just a pile of you, coming, glory. Look at there. Just, hey, child, you know, look what we got ourselves into. Look at there. That's Jesus up there. I know. You know, kind of a thing. So we're going to have a life of worship. And you know what else? I'm going to go into detail those. Now, the ones I'm not going to go into in details, but I'm going to share it with you, because I was about to see this, because I'd be here all night. First of all, say, what to do in heaven? What to do in heaven? What to do in heaven? We'd be learning. There'll be singing. We'd be at the throne singing before God and praising Him and everything else. There'll be worship, and everybody in their white robes be in front of the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, you know, and be worshiping, bowing down with the angels and everything else. They say, we will be serving you too. What to do in heaven? We'd be serving others, right? And He'll be doing things, you know, that He wants us to do. And what else did we say? We'd be leading. God will also give us responsibilities in heaven. So we're not going to be sitting on the cloud like we were taught in school, you know, you're sitting up on a cloud. No, they're going to be say, what to do in heaven? We'll be learning. We'll be singing when that whole choir, can you imagine all different nationalities all just before the throne of God, and we all singing the same language and everything else. And then we'd be worshiping in there too. We'll be learning. We'd be singing. We'd be worshiping Him along with the angels and the whole nine yards. And then we'd be serving. God got a specific thing for us to do. We're not going to say, anything. Well, I'm unemployed up here. I ain't got nothing to do. So anyway, and then we'd be leading, and then we'd be fellowshipping with others. Man, you'd be with folks around there who love the Lord just as much as you. Be loving the Lord just as much as you. And then there's going to be a lot of functions of eating and everything else. And I got the scriptures right next to it. Like I said, we'd be learning, 1 Corinthians 13, 9 and 10. We'd be singing around the throwing everything else. That's Revelation chapter 15:3. Then we'd be worshiping Him at the altar, Revelation 5:9. Then we'd be serving Him. That's Revelation 22:3. Then we'd be leading some around there. We have the little groups leading. That's 2 Timothy 2:12 and Revelation 22:25. And then we'd be eating. That's Revelation 2:17 when God have all these functions, when we'd be at the big table. All right. Now what I want to do, get into this. I gave you a little topic of what I'm going to talk about. One, the location of heaven. Two, description of heaven. Three, the inhabitants of heaven. Four, the activities of heaven and what to do in heaven. I said, what to do in heaven. That's learning, singing, worship, serving, leading, and fellowship with others. Okay. The first one, the location of heaven. The Bible seems to teach there are three heavens. You know that by knowing the word. But only one is the abode of God. To make a long story short, because I don't want to preach a whole sermon on the location of heaven. We've been taught to look at the Bible. There's the first heaven, the second heaven, the third heaven, kind of a thing. The first heaven, you know, consists of the skies right above us with the bird flying, the clouds, and everything else, okay? The second heaven is the stellar spaces. That's where you see all the stars, and people go and see Mars and Jupiter and things like that, to kind of cut that down short because I got a whole page about the second heaven. But that's basically that's what it is. The second heaven is where the rockets go, the first heaven, which is the one we see. Then there is the third heaven. The third heaven is the dwelling place of God. First heaven, that's right above us. We see the clouds get all shot in the skies. We see the birds flying, stuff like that. Then the second heaven is where the rockets go when they go to the moon and so forth. And then the third heaven is supposed to be the dwelling place of God. The third heaven is the dwelling place of God. And no one knows the location of God's throne and localized presence. They say he's in the third heaven, but nobody knows where that throne is. All we can say is that heaven is where God is located. How about that? Where's heaven, Brother John? All I can tell you is that it's considered the third heaven. First heaven is that above us. The second heaven is where those rockets and all the planets are. But the third heaven is above that. And none of us have any slightest idea how above is that. Woo! The third heaven is the dwelling place of God. No one knows the location of God's throne and no class presence. All we can say is that heaven is where God is located. Okay, the next thing about it. No, I don't need to say anything else about three heavens. The Bible teaches that all these heavens shall pass away, because you know your Bible, because God's in the business of establishing a new heaven and a new earth. The Bible teaches that all these heavens shall pass away, but the Lord will come as a thief in the night, y'all, in which the heavens shall pass away, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's in 2 Peter 3:10. That's the first one I got out of Revelation. Oh, so all my stuff come out of Revelation. And then the Bible describes the new heaven because the first heaven was passed away. The Bible describes that it's going to destroy this earth we have now in heaven. And that's in Revelation 21:12. Everything I'm saying, I got the scripture at right next to the period. Right next to the period. This one is Revelation 21:1. So the Bible describes a new heaven because the first heaven and the second heaven has passed away. Revelation 21:1. Okay. Description of heaven. That's the thing, that's another one I want to say about heaven. yeah, the location of heaven. Now, this one is about the description of heaven. The first one about the location, we talk about the three heavens, right? The first one is the air above us. The second one is space. Then the third one is above that one, the highest one. Now, this one here is talking about the description of heaven. The splendor and beauty of heaven far outshine anything that mankind can think of or can comprehend. The beauty, because it can get so. Who created it? God. Splendor and beauty of heaven far outshines anything that human man can comprehend. Well, the Bible said the same thing. I'm coming to human man. It will be impossible to comprehend heaven until we arrive personally. How about that? On location. But we know that heaven is a huge and colorful city. Because if you read the book of Revelation, they describe heaven, man, with all that gold and the streets made out of gold. Can you imagine the streets made out of gold? Man, people around here are killing each other. They can find a piece of gold. If a sidewalk was built out of gold, that sidewalk would only last for about a minute or two because everybody would be killing and knocking each other over to get a piece of that sidewalk that's built out of gold. All right, description of heaven, take this. You have the presence of God. The presence of God. The Bible tells us what is not in heaven to help us understand what is there. And I saw, it said, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Yeah, God is the temple. Look, the scriptures say, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. Our body is the temple while he is here on earth. But up in heaven, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, they're the temple. They're the temple. They're the light. But God manifests himself through us. We're the temple. When others see us and talk with us and communicate with us, they're supposed to see Jesus, the Holy Spirit, one of the two. They're not supposed to see, I don't want to say all them bad words. I ain't no Satan. They're supposed to see Jesus. They're supposed to see Satan. Okay? They don't want to see no perversion, adultery, fornication, lying. They don't want to see that. Okay? All right. The presence of God. The Bible tells us what is not in heaven to help us understand what is there? Well, we know what's not in heaven. And I saw no, it said, I saw no temple therein. I'm looking at the scripture. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Revelation 21:22, y'all. And then I got another statement I got out of the Bible. The temple was a symbol of the presence of God. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, neither of the to shine in it. Why? Because what? The glory of God light up the place. The glory of God lights it up. And the Lamb is the light thereafter. The Lamb is the light thereafter. Then not only description of heaven consists of the presence of God, but guess what? Another description of heaven. Heaven is eternal, forever and ever and ever. Heaven is eternal. Heaven is the place of those who have eternal life, and we know where that is, accepting Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and repent, and really live the life according to the Word of God. Ain't no Sunday, any Sunday Christmas, and any Sunday Christian, and no Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, devil, okay? Heaven is eternal. That's another description of heaven. It's forever. Heaven is the place of those who have eternal life. Heaven, therefore, is described as having no day or night. No day or night. Jesus is the light. It's going to go on and on. We ain't going to have no Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday no more. This is because heaven is eternal, and there is no, I'm going to repeat this, there is no timetable which is measured by day or night sequences in heaven. There's no time. There is no, what time is it now? Is it 4 o'clock yet, 5 o'clock? Mm-mm. And there is no time. It just continues. You know, in the evening, it starts getting dark and cloud getting dark. Say, well, I guess go to bed. If somebody turn the light on, it's going to be constantly like 12 noon, 24/7, forever and ever and ever. But I guess God knows, we have the sense to know that we can sit down and rest if we want to, even that spiritual body get tired, but we're going to sit down and fellowship with a fellow beloved, you know, the Lord and so forth, have a good time. You know, I guess, but they probably just rest and sit. But there's no such thing as it's 12 midnight, man. I got to go to bed and get up in the morning, man. Nope. Heaven is eternal. Heaven is the place of those who have eternal life. That's all of us. Heaven, therefore, is described as having no day or night. And this is because it is eternal. That's why. And there is no time which is measured by day or night sequences in heaven. And guess what? Here's another one. Eternity is timeless. You can't be still talking about heaven is eternal. Eternity is timeless. There's no need for the sun to get us up in the morning, no need for the moon to help us see and get around at night. You got another one about heaven. You're talking about description of heaven. I said, description of heaven, I said, you have the presence of God in heaven, and heaven is an eternal place. It doesn't end. It's not part-time. And the third thing I'm going to tell you about heaven is heaven has no death. Since death means separation, there is no death in heaven. Because why? Because we will be alive forever with God and those who died in Christ. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Therefore, because death has been cast fire, there are no more death. Let me say this all over one more time. Heaven has no death. Since death means separation, there is no death in heaven because we will live forever with God and those who die in Christ. Praise the Lord. And death and hell, let me repeat that, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire along with Satan and all his demons. I love that. And death, guess what? There ain't going to be no more death. God's going to take death and throw it in fire. And death, that's the word of God. You want to know where that is? Look in Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. That's where I got it from. Everything I'm saying, I got the scripture at the end of the sentence. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, Revelation 20, verse 14. Sin, the reason why God originally cursed the earth, is gone. Because, I mean, in the world, I've come now. Sin, the reason why God originally cursed the earth, is gone. Therefore, death is result is also death. Is gone also. Sin, the reason, sin is the reason why God originally cursed the earth. But now, since sin is no more, sin is gone, and it's gone, therefore what? There's no more death. It's resolved, and it's just gone. Because when a person go to hell, you don't die in hell because he's a spiritual being. His grave is still up there in the graveyard. Probably number dust and bones and stuff like that, because dust to dust we're going to turn. So when a person dies, a certain amount of, I guess, certain number of time after a couple of months, I guess if you go and look up, look in that casket, after they've been dead a year or two, all you see is this ashes and dust. That's all you see, because dust to dust we return. But you're not left. Your body's nothing but your house. So when you die, everybody crying, leaving the casket, and guess what? It's like when you went to the store, and you turn all the lights, lock the door. That's your body. The house is still there, but the real you is going to the grocery store to get some groceries, going to the doctor, going to the hospital to have that baby, going to the hospital to see a sick one, going to the picnic. But you got the house all locked up. The house is your body. It's immobile. It can't do nothing because you ain't there. You like the spirit of that house. So when you go back home, you turn the lights back on, turn the radio to you, and everything jumping. So now, you have entered your body, the house. And that's pretty as I can get it. Heaven has no doubt, no death. Remember that. Sin is the reason why God originally cursed the earth. And now, because he got rid of death, there is no more curse. No more curse. Now, also, another thing. Not only heaven has no death, heaven has no fear. Heaven has no fear. Huh? Heaven has no fear. Heaven has no fear. Okay. Yep, that's what it says. Heaven has no fears. This means there will be no more sadness because I looked at my letter. My T looked like an F. I got heaven has no fears. Heaven has no tears. Sorry about that, John. Okay, here we go. Heaven has no tears, no boohooing and crying. This means there will be no more sadness. Why? Because God shall wipe away all our tears, y'all. From the Bible says, God shall wipe away all their tears, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any pain. For the former things are passed away. Got that too? Revelation 21:4. I told you Revelation, my favorite book in the Bible. Heaven has no tears. Let me say that again. This means there would be no more sadness. Because why? God himself shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Personally, he's going to wipe away our tears. And whatever make us sad, he's going to wipe it away. Because like I said earlier, there will be no tears and no crying. And you know, that's pretty hard to understand. You know, I was going, suppose, like, I'm married, and I had two kids, and every time I try to talk to them, they're in their 20s or something like that. My daddy, that religion for you, ain't for us, you know, kind of stuff. Because I know some personal people, friends of mine, who don't bother about raising their kids up into the Lord. They say, well, they're grown. I want them to think. I want to grow for themselves. I don't want to preach them. I don't want to make them believe what I believe. So, oh, my God. You know, I'm hearing this. I want them to be judged themselves. They're smart. They're sharp. They make A's school. I want them to make a decision, what decision to make. I don't want to dictate them that they have to accept Jesus. They have to believe. I want them to find out for themselves. And I go, yeah, right. When they get grown and everything else, it'll get too late almost then. So, well, I know you go to church, Mama, no, but that ain't for me. That ain't for me. But the crowd he hang around are mostly atheists, or thugs, or dope addicts, and everything else. So heaven has no tears. That's what I said. It really amazed me how Mama died, and Mama wasn't right. She was a hellion and everything else, cuss you all out, beat you up and everything else, and raise hell at the husband, and cuss like a champ, smoke 5 packs of cigarettes a day and everything else, then drop dead. And then a couple of years later, you die and you go to heaven. And then I go, well, how is that person going to be happy? The Bible says there ain't going to be no tears. Man, that person know that their mama going to hell. Their mama killed somebody, their brother killed somebody in cold blood. He did about 30 years in jail. When he got out, these two reasons all the hell went back to jail again. And now, and if he died, I know where he or she going. How can that be happening even though my beloved brother, my one and only big brother going to hell kind of a thing? I don't have the answer for that one. The only to settle myself, I just say, well, God may just erase the memory of that person in that person's mind. Like you had a mom or dad that you really loved, but dad never got right. He was always an alcoholic, cheating on mama, stealing, doing all this and everything else. And then he died because he was robbing the store and he got killed by a cop or something like that. You know he's going to hell. And so how you be happy? But daddy was good to me. I love my dad. And I go, how can a person be in hell and knowing that their daddy or their mom is down in hell screaming and hollering? But God has the resolution to all that. My little poor little tonight man just go, well, I guess God is going to have to erase the memory of your mom and daddy. If they're that crazy about mom and daddy kind of thing. But some can be so loving of God that even though they know a child, it hurts, but it ain't going to make them want to commit suicide and make them go crazy and lose their lifestyle and lose their friend and that crazy because that daughter, that son is out in the world. I understand this part. You can love God so much that you just put that child in God's hand. And as a person dies in sin, and then you probably still can get over because you can say, you know, she had all the chance in the world. I love them, but I love God the most. I'm not going to cuss God, you know. I'm not going to curse at him. No. That person had all kind of chances. I pray for that child and ask God to intercede, but God ain't going to make nobody intercede, but God can run other people to cross their path and tell them about the Lord, can witness to them. Might be the janitor at the church who knows the Lord, might be a best friend who got saved, you know, kind of thing. So God can have anybody across that person's path to tell them a little bit about the Lord, kind of a thing, too. Okay. There, heaven has no tears. This means there will be no more sadness because God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more what? Death. Neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any pain. You ain't got to worry about them pains in your back or wherever you got them. You may experience all those pains and everything else. There'll be no more pain because we have a glorified body, y'all. A glorified body, a spiritual body. Can walk through things like you'll go so much. But I don't know if he can walk through things once he give us the flesh in the body, but, you know, we're going to have a body. We're not just walk around spirit beings. He's going to give us a glorified body, a glorified body. But that body be so glorified, I don't know how cool it's going to be. I don't know if a glorified body, I've never been in one, can still walk through the door, walk through this and walk through that kind of thing. But it's going to be a glorified body that will never, 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 never die. A glorified body that will never, never, never get ill, sick, experience any pain, doing nothing. You feel like you're an 18-year-old child. You might be 675 years old, but you still, and by the way, when we die, and when our spirit leave our body, when God give us a new body up there in heaven, that body going to be looking like when you were like in your 20s. It ain't gonna, you might die at the age of, say, 80 or 90. But when your spirit leaves your body, your spirit didn't age. It's a spiritual being. So when it leaves your body to go be with the Lord, you will be looking like you're 20, 21, 22. It ain't going to be looking like you're 89, 59, you know, 102, 103. You ain't going to be looking like that at all. Not at all. Because that's the flesh that aids, not the spirit. So that's going to be amazing. No matter how you look now, you can be something to be 70, 80, something 90. But when you, when God said, come, and you lay in that bed in the hospital at home, in that room, and then all of a sudden it's your time to come, you would know it because guess what? The Holy Spirit, either God walking, Jesus walking there and say, honey, I'm ready to take you home. And you're going to have your eyes closed, but you can see him. You'd be looking at his spirit and say, Lord, is that you? That's my child, honey. I come to take you home. I gave you 75 years. I got other things for you to do now. But I let you stay these 75 years because I had a plan for your life and you accomplished them all. I have no need for you to be here now. You led your sister to the Lord. You left your brother. You led your brother to the Lord. You led your grandchild to the Lord. And by your lifestyle, you turned this criminal into a job. This person didn't know God, but they saw how you were on the job. They said, now, that's a real Christian. And because you lived that long, I let you live that long so your path can cross this other person who was thinking about committing suicide. And you don't know a person thinking about committing suicide, and you something needs you to go to a child, let me tell you. and you tell me about your problem, say, but God did it for me. And then you end up praying for the child without even knowing that the woman, the man you just shared a few minutes with, was planning on committing suicide. And now your purpose has been done. So God said, now she has completed the task that I have ordained for her. I'm bringing my daughter home. So you don't have to pray. Why? He was only 23. Why? He was only 45. Why? He was only 70. Why? He was only 13. God has a purpose and everything. I know a lot of people when I was a chaplain in the hospital. I know a lot of people that didn't care nothing about the Lord, and a daughter who was 16 or 15 died giving birth to a child because she got pregnant. And guess what? Before the whole week was over, I ended up leading the parents to the Lord. They cussed, raised hell, screaming, throwing things all in the room there in the hospital, mad. God took my child. Oh, no, hell no. And he's screaming all. And I sit back and I was waiting on the Lord. And the Lord told me what to say. Sweetheart, let me tell you something. You told me, you ain't going to see your child again. No, I ain't going to see her again. You're she dead. That's not the Bible. Well, what you mean, sir? And I said, your daughter is with the Lord now. You looking at the body there on the bed, honey. That's not your daughter anymore. That's just the house you used to. What you mean? Both things didn't even know that when a person died, the spirit leaves the body to be in the presence. And the Lord said, your daughter's in the presence of God now. Huh? And the husband looked at me, what you mean? Then I explained about it. Oh, my Lord. I said, do you? And I said, you know what? Guess what? She and your grandchild are together because the baby died in the womb. And guess what? That God just took the spirit out of each one, your daughter and your granddaughter, sweetheart. I didn't know that. You know? And I said, would you like to see him again? Of course, but they ain't going to see him no more. They ain't going to be in a casket and be down in that old stinking ground forever. I said, the moment she died, that angel was standing right there, put her bed, and grabbed him and said, let's go, honey, I'm taking you home. And she just had the big smile. She'd probably look at you and go, well, I wish I could tell Mom I'm going, but I'm gone. And she kept there and see Jesus, and see all them saints and all those teenagers running around there who love the Lord. Man, shoot. And those angels taking care of them, you know, showing where to go and what they're going to eat and everything else. So people taking care of them are holy angels, darling, holy angels. Heaven has no tears. This means there will be no more sadness because God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any pain, for the former things are passed away. Now, heaven is also, still talking about heaven. Heaven is a place of memory. The question is often asked, will we know one another in heaven? That was one of my main questions. Will we know? I said, I'm going to know those folks. I don't know how the folks live in my neighborhood. I may know the person who lives on each side of my house. But if you go five doors down the street, I don't know who they are, you know, kind of thing. If you go to the next block, I wouldn't know who they are either. How are you going to remember all the people? I said, the Bible said millions and millions and millions of believers from all nationalities, from all tongues, from all languages, and everything that's going to be up there, you know. And how I'm going to fellowship when I don't even know them, you know. And I said, you know, the only thing I thought of, then until I started reading, you know, for this, to prep myself for this session, I go, well, only one answer I'd come up with that. It's like God gives us memory. God gives some people exceptional memory and skill. Some people can read something and remember everything they read. Some people make all A's. Some people make all B's. Some people make all C's. And some people make C's and D's, kind of a thing. But God, one that has control of our mind, he know what we're thinking. He know what we're going to say before we're going to say it, kind of a thing. So how in the world are we going to remember that kind of a thing? Well, you know, I look in the Bible, and it says this. I said, Peter, James, and John in Mark 9, verses 4 and 5, they recognized Moses and Elijah. Now, remember when the three disciples went up there to God in the Gethsemane when Jesus was praying because his death was just hours away, the crucifixion. And then while he was there, Moses and Elijah appeared on each side of Jesus. And they recognized, Lord, do we need to fix something for you? And Elijah and Moses, now mind you, Moses and Elijah been dead a century or centuries before that incident happened. But they recognized who they were. That blew my mind when I saw that. I said, what? I said, Peter, James, and John Mark 9, verse 4 and 5, recognized Moses and Elijah, who had been dead for centuries. And they just came down from heaven, just encouraged Jesus, because Jesus was hurting. Jesus was in tears, because he knew that he had to be obedient to his Father, going and let those guys put them nails through his hands and through his feet, and he died for them and everything else. And before that, they gonna beat his behind with those and whips and everything else, and put all those scars all over his body. I mean, it's, every time that thing hit him, you had little sharp things on the end of the whip, and every time they pulled the whip back, it plugged out a piece of meat out of his chest, back, shoulder, arm, and everything else. Jesus went through pure hell. He asked us, "No, please, Father, please, God, no. Do I have? Is there any other way they can get saved?" God said, "No." He go back, "Father, please, please, Father, you know that suffering. You know what you hit me with the." I can imagine him saying, "When that whip comes forward, yeah, this is going to be the leather, but it's going to be a piece of sharp, cutting thing that was sticking to my meat, into my skin. And when he pulled that whip back, then boom, it's going to plug out a piece of meat. You sure you want me to do this thing?" And he said, "No. All right. That's not my will, but your will, Father, but your will." Ooh-wee. That's heavy, y'all. That's heavy. So he knew what he was going to go through because he's God in the flesh. And so that's why he begged God three times. He said, "Don't let him go through." God said, "You have to, son. Because you're the only pure vessel on this earth now. Everybody got some kind of sin. Some got small sin, some got regular sin, some got big sin. But I don't care what kind of sin they got. Ain't nothing coming up here. They're all on their way to hell. So you got to die for their sins." So when I look at them, if they accept you and believe that you, Jesus, that you died for their sins, then they automatically will be saved. And then when they die, my angels come right into that bedroom, either at home or in the hospital, or either in an automobile wreck. They come right to your car when they look at you and say, "It's time to go home." And you look up there and go, "Oh, my God." And so when the ambulance and all come and people come, you see your body leaning over the steering wheel dead, but you stand outside the car looking at your body leaning over the steering wheel with the other person who died with you. And then the angel said, "You had enough?" "Yes." And then you take it from the presence of God. And God said, "Welcome home, my child," kind of a thing. And then the original song, so-and-so was killed, and all be like the poor saying, and they go to the funeral. And that person up there, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." You think, I said, "Now, Lord, I miss my mom. I miss my husband. I miss my child. I miss so-and-so. But you know what? That person, when they're in the presence of the Lord, they will experience a joy they never could imagine. Because they're with the Creator, the one who's going to have them living for all eternity. There's no more death, period. And then they know, God said, "Don't worry about them. I got them covered, too. I know when they're going to die. I'm watching them. I got a plan for each one of them. Don't you know my word in Jeremiah 29:11 say, don't you know I have a plan for your life, a plan not a calamity of problems, but a plan to give you a life, a plan to give you a purpose. And all you have to do is follow me. And then when that time comes, their time will come, and you'll be rejoined together. But your time is over because you have completed the plan and the task that I have for your life. Just because you left your wife and children home, or just because you left this one at home, that don't mean nothing. I got them covered. I can do twice, 100 times better than what you could do for them if you were still alive. You, my disciple, that child, your wife, or your child who's 13, 14, died, they here with me now. You ain't got to worry about them getting to the wrong cloud. You know, I may have done that because you didn't know that they would have got raped. Your child would have got raped. And your child would have got mangled in an automobile accident. Or your child, this would happen. I delivered them from that. I delivered them that. And so I didn't know that. No, you don't know. You're not God. All you got to do is thank God for the years that person, God had you with that person. But their life has ended. Everybody got a different purpose in the plane. Some going to live till they're 15, some 18. And look at all these brothers who died from these police killings and stuff like that, you know? That's ridiculous. They're going to pay for that. But guess what? They're in the presence of the Lord. They're in the presence of the Lord. Looking at all those angels walking around and saying, "Hey, brother, brother this, brother that," and everything else. You know, and they're going, "Praise the Lord. It's not bad up here at all," you know? And then the Lord said, "Let me show you something." And I give them a little review and say, "All right, you left them behind, but look, see Mama down here crying a little tear? She'd be here in about 5 more years. Huh? You heard me. She'd be here 5 more years. That's her time. okay, you know. And look at cousin so-and-so and so-and-so. And she's going to live to be 80 or 90, but you're going to be happy up here because you're around here with holy, godly people. And you be in my presence. You would be in my presence. And you can't beat that, so you ain't lying, Lord. Praise you, kind of a thing. So heaven is a place of memory. The question is often asked, will we know one another in heaven? The answer is yes. Like I said, Peter, James, and John, they recognized Moses and Elijah when they appeared down there with Jesus, when Jesus was crying about, don't let me go through this hell I got to go through. And he appeared. And he was down there to encourage him, say, you got to go through it, Master. You got to go through it because that's your purpose. Some people die, live to die, to do a certain job or to do a certain thing with God planned for their life. But yours, some people die because they're old, not time for them to die. But your death is different. Death has a purpose. Your death is for the purpose of saving humanity, mankind. Because if you don't, everybody down on earth going to hell. Because some are going to be liars, some are going to be whores, some are going to be alcoholics, some are going to be drug addicts, some are going to be killers and murderers, and some are going to be rapists, and some are going to be homosexuals, some are going to be lesbians, and some are going to be this and that, and that, and that, and that. And the only way any one of them, no matter what they're doing or what they're now, you die for them, and all they got to do is see somebody got to introduce you to Jesus. And Jesus said, I forgive you, darling. That's why I died. I don't care. You know, even I've known prisoners in jail who in jail for murder and go into the lecture chair and see the chaplain walk into the lecture chair to a place where they have and talk to the guy, I'm sorry, you finally repent. Going, walking down the hall to the lecture chair. And then he says, well, it's not too late. What you mean, chaplain? Said, God died for you too. Now, you sorry that you killed that man, didn't you? I didn't mean it. I just had hard hands on, so. I said, well, God, tell God you're sorry. He knows your heart. Just tell him. I'm sorry, Lord. And Lord, and the chaplain said, no, you didn't got to tell me and everything. He knows you. Just tell me sorry for them all. He knows exactly because he got it recorded. And then there are people who got saved going to the electric chair, honey. Got saved going to the electric chair. So that's why God died and died on that cross. You can't, a sinner can't die. A priest, a rabbi, a pope can't save nobody. You need somebody to die for him too. But the Bible says all fall short of the glory of God. But you can be a preacher all you want, but if you don't repent, your butt's still going to hell. You can be a nun all you want. But if you don't repent and accept Jesus Christ, you're going to hell because it's not by works. If we can go to heaven by our own efforts because how good we are, how nice we were while we were there, that behind still going to bust hell wide open because the Bible said, not some, all have sinned and fall short of God. It's even lies. Well, all I did was just lie. Well, the Bible says in Revelation 21, all lie is going to hell too. You can be in a cab with a child molester and another person there who thinks he got his secrets. He could be a rapist or whatever. And all three of you got killed in an automobile accident. Guess what? Soon as you get killed in that automobile accident, the angels come there and grab you. Three of them come and grab each one and take you right in the presence of the Lord. He said, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Depart from me. And that's to say, God want me to say this too. Don't put it off. Some of you are probably not saved. I don't know. You know, that's between you and God. I remember when I was much younger, I had that stupid thing and say, man, I ain't getting saved right now. You crazy? I'm just 25. That means if I get saved, that means I can't hanky-panky. And I can't do all the loving I want to do. And I can't do all the cussing I want to do. And I can't do all I want to do. I guess God laughed, Popsy, you idiot. And I used to say that when I was in my 30s. Man, shoot. I'll get saved when I'm about my 9 or something. Because I'd be too old to do anything. Then I can't go to the liquor store no more, go to the nightclubs and party with the girls. Can't do none of that no more. God is amazing. So I said, okay. And then the final man told me, so John, all these not promised to you, you know. I said, you know, you got a point there. Suppose you die, some old drunken man hit you at the corner that you cross the street and the guy don't stop. You see the lights ain't green for you to cross, but the man who's driving the cars is drunk as hell, and he keep right on going right in the middle of the intersection and kill you dead. Guess what will happen? I'm going to hell. Because you died in your sin. You died in sin. Yeah, remember what you and your girlfriend did the other night? Well, you're going to hell, Bubba. But nobody be there to preach to me after I'm dead. I had to stand there for Jesus. And Jesus said, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Which means you and I never had a personal relationship. All right. I got 2 hours, I think, but I forgot how many minutes I got left. But anyway, heaven is a place of memory. And then heaven will be beautiful and clean. I don't have to sermonize on that one. I mean, you got heaven there and no dust, no dirt, no nothing. The streets are made out of gold. Can you imagine that? The streets are made out of gold. And here, and all the blooms, the flowers and all bloom at the appropriate time. Everything. And then when you look at Revelation, it describes heaven about there was a sea of glass like crystals. And in the midst of the throne, and there the street was made out of, you got out of gold. You know, I mean, you describe all the different material that heaven was made out of. And then I got, I think this is the answer. Got the last two. This one, they talk about the inhabitants of heaven. The inhabitants who were there. Who were up there in heaven? But listen at this. Heaven is more than the eternal home of the saved. Hear what I say? Heaven is more than the eternal home of the saved. Many others have, others will forever live with us there. Many. And these include God, talking about inhabitants of heaven. Who's going to be up there? This includes God, Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God Jesus, the Son of God. These include God and his angels, going to be angels and special creations. Yeah, well, there's some creation we don't even know about. We don't know everything about God. Because we probably see some things up there we never even knew existed, okay? Okay. So you got God, you got the Trinity, and then you got angels, and you got the special creations. Then you got both Jews and Gentiles. So not only them other things you got, but you know the Jews talking about we don't believe in Jesus, that kind of thing. We just believe in God. And now, you know, when that time comes near for him to come back, God going to turn his concentration off the Gentiles. Because the Bible says he know when to go back and work on the Jews. And all the Jews say, oh, my God, Jesus the Messiah. I know. Oh, I'm 50. I'm 60. I'm 70. And I never believed Jesus was the Messiah, our Messiah. We are out here 50, 60 years still looking for the Messiah. And Jesus had been here 30, 40, 50 years ago and gone. And we denied him all that time. Well, they're going in the Bible said in Hebrews that God allowed that to happen. He allowed that because he goes, if the Jews are there, he was all into Jews, you know, the Hebrew people. And then a lot of the Gentiles wouldn't get saved. God said, well, okay, y'all my people, I'm a Jew, I'm trying to get y'all saved, and y'all want to talk to a stranger about y'all don't believe me as the Messiah? All y'all looking for is God. Pray for Messiah, but y'all don't believe that Messiah because what? Because I was born in a stable. I didn't born as a up-and-coming king. Because my dad was the king, my mom was the queen. I was born in a stable, so y'all wouldn't accept me, you know. And then my daddy, you know, he was a carpenter kind of a thing. And so y'all looking for Jesus, the Messiah, to come down on earth with a crown, a robe and everything as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He came in a stable as a baby. Inhabitants of heaven gonna be angels. See, John heard the voice of many angels about the throne of heaven. And these include several kinds of angels. And then when y'all remember, I did a study on demonology. We talked about all the kinds of angels and everything else. Like, for example, you got several kinds of angels. You got the seraphims, and you got, what else? You got cherubims, and you like Gabriel, you know, kind of thing. And Michael, the archangel. When I was doing that seminar on demons, I named over 100 different kinds of angels God got up there to help him. You got, like I said, you got angels, then you got elders. The Bible identifies 24 elders around the throne of God. 24 elders. You know, you got the 12 of them represent the 12 tribes of Jerusalem, of the Jews. And then the other 12 represent His apostles. He had 12 apostles, in which, the Bible was 24, whatever, down the throne of heaven. Yeah, 12 leaders are the 12 apostles. And then you got the other 12, which are the Jews, 12 Jews from different. So, not only you got angels, but you got elders that are going to be in heaven. Is in heaven. Who else going to be in heaven, Brother John? Who else? Angels, elders, and saved Israel. And when I saw that, when I was studying, you know, some books I was reading today, I said, save Israel. So, yeah, save Israel. That's some, you know, because remember I told you, most all the Jews, none of them believe in Jesus. And their Bible, they don't even have, their Bible don't consist of the New Testament. It goes from Genesis to Malachi. They don't have no Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, so forth. They don't have that at all. You just say, we got it. But they don't, that's amazing. They just didn't believe. They didn't believe in it. I find that pretty hard, you know. I say, I don't believe in that, my God. You know, I said, and I talked to one of my Jewish friends. I said, he said, John, I will stop at Malachi. He said, yeah, I know. He said, what's wrong, man? He said, that's the way I was taught, Brother John. That's the way I was taught. That's the way he was taught. I said, he said, our Bible go from Genesis all the way to Malachi. He said, what do y'all got? I said, I got the New Testament. We go from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd, Thessalonians, you know. And we got Timothy, 2nd, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st Peter, 2nd Peter, 3rd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Jude and Revelation. We got all that. And all of them talk about Jesus. That's why I go, well, you know, I guess that's why our ministers didn't want us to have include the Protestant Bible of the South. All right, who else is in there? I said, not only angels, not only elders, you know, like they're the right-hand man of the pastor, stuff like that, and they run the church. I saved Israel, remember I said? And I got a little paragraph here, and it just said, Hebrews 11. List a number of individuals and groups who practice faith in the Old Testament. But now they desire better country. That is in heaven. They want a better country. Now their eyes are open. See, Jesus, that's why Jesus got, he came and looked at us. He's working with us, the non-Jews. Because he still loves his Hebrew Jews who turned their back on him because the rabbi, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, made their people not to believe in Jesus. They said, our Messiah is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our Messiah will come from a virgin, talking about she's a virgin and she ain't got no husband, got a baby. That baby ain't nothing but, you know what? Hey, now, that's not our Lord. That baby was born out of wedlock. What are you talking about? You know, that kind of a thing. See? But God is so much, you can't pick out God. So, now, God making that thing. Boy, if you've been around where I've been, you found there's a whole lot of Jews walking around there talking about, I believe in Jesus. And we look in our church, and guess what? Some of them, they still go to their same church, but guess what? The pastor there is teaching Jesus in his church. This is God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Not just God, but Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And they accepting Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They speaking in tongues. And that band, you think they're more Christian than we are. I'm telling you. So now God has turned aside now, and he's reaching back to his people, and he knows who's going to get saved and who ain't going to get saved. And now he's ministering to his people because he wants his Hebrew people to be a part of his family in heaven. Because for centuries, ain't none of them. They get kicked out of their church. They come and I believe in Jesus. Even their own family member, father, mother, are kicking them out of the house. They tell me they believe in Jesus. So you have the Israelites, the Jews, they coming, boy. They come back. You see, God is smart. God said, well, y'all want to ignore me and disown me? I'm just going to the Gentiles. That's us, anybody who's not a Jew. And look at Christians, Methodists, Baptists, Catholics, all in all denominations. They're just coming and loving the Lord and everything, as God said. And God knows exactly how many are going to be saved. And that's interesting. God knows how many are going to be saved. And so, let me see, when did I start? 8:30? I can't remember when I started. My clock said 8:57. I don't know if I got 2 more minutes, 3 more minutes. But anyway, I'm almost through. I got just a few more things to say. And then, who else in the kingdom of God? The inhabitants of heaven, I said, angels in heaven. Elders are in heaven. saved Israel. The Jews are coming back to accepting Jesus as the Messiah. And then we have the church. Now the church is everybody who's not Hebrew. That's everybody who's not Hebrew. Because you remember the Hebrews, they just believe in God. They didn't believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit. But now they believe it. I mean, they're coming in droves. And the other residents of heaven will be the church. That's us. That's anybody else who's not a Jew. One of the first events, listen at this, one of the first events after the rapture will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's when we be up in heaven. Everybody get around the table. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Because Jesus the groom, and the church and all believers are considered what? What is it called? The bride of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. All of us. Jesus the groom, and all believers are his bride. One of the first events after the rapture, that's when everybody caught up, will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's when Jesus is going to call all us in his presence. And we will be ceremonially married to Jesus. We are his bride. He is the groom, and we are his bride. Praise the Lord. We are called the bride of Christ. All the believers are called the bride of Christ. And we will have the big wedding when it's all over down here. And we guess what? And Jesus Christ won't be presented as our groom. He's going to be our groom, and we're going to be his bride. The New Jerusalem has been described as the wedding ring of the church. The size of the church is innumerable. That's what the book says. The size of the church, because you're talking about the church, those are believers from every nationality, race, tongue, and everything else in this whole world. Okay? And then you have, who else is going to be in heaven? And the last one we got, the triune God. The triune God. That's Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then the last one I got there. What I have here? The activities of heaven. They're going to be fellowship, a life of fellowship. They're going to be a life of rest. They're going to be a life of, what should I say, growth. Mm-hmm. And a life of worship. We're going to be worshiping, praising the Lord around heaven and everything else. And we're going to grow because we're going to grow in the Word. Because God, remember the Bible is the Word of God. But guess what? Up in heaven, we're going to have the Word of God in flesh. The Bible is the Word of God. But when we go to heaven, we're going to have the Word of God as the Word of God in the flesh. Well, not in the flesh, but in a human body. And then we're going to have a life of service where we'll be able to serve and assist each other in heaven, you know. And we're going to have a life of growth where we're going to be growing in leaps and bounds in the knowledge of the Bible. And we're also going to have worship. Now, I want to say this. I'm concluding now. I'd like to say God has certainly prepared a very special place for each one of us who desires to spend eternity with him. The Bible also tells us how we can know with certainty that we have eternal life and a place in heaven with God. Also, anyone who would trust Christ as their personal Savior would be admitted into heaven. And the new birth, it's called the new birth. The old birth is when you come out mama. The new birth, when the Holy Spirit calls us to accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. And what a share it would be to know all about heaven and never see it simply because we put off getting saved. We should receive Christ as our personal Savior right now. And that way, if we never meet here, we will see each other in heaven. So, you know, and I feel in my heart there's somebody who loves the Lord. There's some who just joined the church. There's some who just came out of some false religion, whatever, and say, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to say a prayer. And I want you to do, just say it to yourself. Just repeat to me in your spirit. Because God says, I love you, and I know you, honey, and looking for the truth. But salvation, to get into my heaven, you have to recognize that I am the Son of God. I am Jesus the Messiah. I died on that cross for your sake. I never sinned. You are the sinner. I died so your sin can be forgiven. So I want y'all to say this. Just say it to yourself. It's just a little short prayer. This is a prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. All right, here we go. Father, it is written in your word that if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that you have raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. And therefore, Father, I confess that Jesus is my Lord, and I make him Lord of my life right now. And I believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead, and I renounce my past life with Satan and close the door to any of his devices. And finally, Father, I thank you. I thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. Jesus is my Lord, and I am a new creation in Christ. Old things pass away. Now all things become new in Jesus' name. Amen. I am now a child of God because I went through the born-again experience by accepting Christ and believing Christ as the Lord and Savior of the world. I thank you, Father. In Jesus' nice name I pray. Amen. I thank you for the listening tonight, folks. I'm going to call tonight because I hope I haven't gone because I don't want to cost my brother any more money. I think I started at, what, 8, it's 9 o'clock now? Yeah. Okay. God bless you. And I'll see you whenever Brother Emmett wants me to teach again. I teach regularly on Tuesdays, you know. And whenever he needs me, I'm always available. My regular night is a Tuesday night. God bless each one of you. Be blessed. Over and out.